I really don't give a shit about motivating people. You cannot motivate someone. You cannot push them or pull them or poke them enough to get them through the training, because as soon as you stop, if that's what's getting them through, as soon as you stop, they're going to quit.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. What's up, my friends? Welcome to conversation number 77 of the Christoph Lewis Podcast. I'm freaking pumped that you're here today. I have a super awesome guest. I can't wait for you guys to hear this. My guest today is none other than the great and powerful Ryan Williams. He's a former Navy SEAL. He's the founder of Industry Threadworks, and he's just a freaking cool guy with a lot of information, with a lot of knowledge. And what's cool about him that I love is that he shares this knowledge. So he was in the military for 10 years as a SEAL. He got out. He didn't just break ties and get out of the military. He worked on what he loved for years, for 9 years, and then he made the change. And he explains how he did that, why he did that, and a plethora of other information. And I just really enjoy talking to him. It was just like, selfishly, I was like, how did you do these things? And then let's save this and let other people listen to this as well. And that's typically how these conversations go. You can hear this one and all the other conversations and contemplation episodes at christophlewis.com/podcast or any of your favorite podcasting applications. If you guys are new here, I appreciate it. You can head over to iTunes and rate 5 stars if you enjoy, and you can find me on Instagram at Christoph Lewis. I appreciate you listening, but just remember, it doesn't stop with this stuff. You got to apply this information. You can hear all the best advice from Ryan. You can hear the great advice from me, but if you don't apply it, it means nothing. All right, let's get into it. Welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast.
Dude, thanks for having me, man. Pleasure to talk with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I was saying a second ago off camera, there's like so many things I want to talk to you about. One of the things I thought was really funny right off the bat was that I've actually bought some of your stuff like years ago, probably like 7 years ago. I bought some forged stuff. And I didn't even figure it out till recently that you were the guy behind that. So
I think that's pretty cool. Thank you for your support, brother.
Yeah, I think I still have that shirt like somewhere tucked away. I should have found it for the interview, but no,
dude,
it's.
I wish I would have kept a lot of those old ones. You know?
Yeah, right. It's like some classic shit.
We got plenty of them. I'm not gonna keep them. And then now I'm like, you know, whatever, how many years later, I'm like, dang, I wish I would have kept some of those. You know,
yeah,
just put them up on the wall. It's like, you know.
Yeah, little mementos.
I think it's good to have kind of roadmaps, you know, and things you learn along the way, and just kind of it helps to have little mementos of those so you can learn from them and, you know, not make the same mistakes twice.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we go any further, let's for people that don't know who you are, let's just knock that out real quick. It's going to be like a micro version, but like, who are you? What have you done? What are you doing now?
Yeah, so I'm Ryan Williams. I was a Navy SEAL for a little over 10 years. And then I got out, and now I do entrepreneur stuff. So I've built and sold 3 different companies, and now my current company helps apparel brands scale and grow, basically. Sweet. Is what it is.
Yeah, awesome. I was I just got out of the Navy last year. I was in for nine years. Yeah, thanks. It's
awesome.
It's pretty awesome. I'm still in the pursuit of like similar things you're doing. I want to get into entrepreneurship. I can't call myself an entrepreneur yet. Still working for somebody else, but I'm on my way there, man. I'm doing everything possible, and that's
dude,
why, like,
yeah. You know, it's funny, man. Like, that is, it's so common, because, like, dude, I started Forge Clothing with my buddy Mike Sowers in 2007.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I had a day job the whole time between that and the other clothing.
I'm so glad you said that. Yeah.
And the kettlebell company. Yeah. Yeah, up until 2016, I had a day job, and it was, like, the whole time I did.
Wow.
And a lot of people say there's two different schools of thought on starting entrepreneurship, and both of them are very valid. But for me, like, there's this thought of like, hey, just jump in, just commit to it, and then you know, you burn your ships and all that. But for me, I don't particularly like that method, because the fact is that most people are going to make so many mistakes in their first business or their first couple of years that if you're trying to live on it, it's going to do two things. Number one, it's going to hinder the growth of the company if you're pulling capital out to actually live. Mm-hmm. And two, you're going to make so many mistakes that if you don't have the capital to recover from them, you may end up folding the company and taking it and not even giving it a proper chance. So I much prefer the method of keeping your day job as long as possible.
Yeah.
But then that invites the next question is, how do you know when to quit your day job?
It's a great question.
Right. Yeah. It's very simple, and I've dispensed this advice, but then I found myself not listening to my own advice and kind of screwing myself.
That's how it goes sometimes, though. You know, right? Yeah, like it's so easy to give it.
Yeah. Right. It's much easier terrible. To say what to do than actually do it. So that advice is basically when to jump is when your day job, the time that you spend in your day job is starting to impact the growth of your company. Meaning if you're spending 8 hours a day at one job and you could make more money spending that 8 hours growing your side company, then that's the point where it makes sense to jump off.
Sure.
I didn't do that with this latest company, Industry Fabrics, because we were growing and we were doing, it was just me and we were doing about $1 million a year in sales. And it was, I had a day job. I was still instructing at SQT and Seal
cool.
Pipeline.
Yeah.
It was a great job and it paid well and it wasn't a whole lot of time requirements. So it allowed me to put all the capital back into growing the company so I could scale it pretty efficiently. But it got to the point where I was working, you know, legitimately like 18 hours a day and it was just unsustainable. And then we started to reach a plateau. I couldn't grow the company anymore. And I had to make a choice. Like, do I leave this really cool, comfortable, cush job with a lot of security as a government job and jump this with no safety net and hopefully make up, you know, that salary? And I was too much of a pussy to jump. It took me like six. I waited like 6 months longer than I should have.
Yeah.
And it caused some issues at work because I wasn't focused on my main job because I was too focused on trying to grow the other one. And I should have just had bigger balls and jumped when the time was
but
right.
It's so easy to say that now, though. Like, looking back, you're like, oh, I should have done it sooner. And I like literally just had this conversation with my wife because we're like plotting the rest of our lives right now and we're like trying to figure some shit out, and I was like, when we get to it, like when, not if, like when we get to that stage in our lives that we're trying to do where we're both not working for somebody, I'm gonna look back and be like, fuck, like why didn't I do this sooner, like why didn't I pull the trigger sooner? So no, that totally resonates with me.
The thing is, and I think this is something that not a lot of people actually talk about, is that, I mean, everybody says entrepreneurship is hard, but what does that really mean?
Yeah, it's subjective.
Volatility is, I think, a major factor in how hard it is, because like it goes into not knowing when to jump. So you might make, like, say you got $1 million company. That means you might make $120,000 1 month and you might make $20,000 1 month. But if you have, you know, costs of $50,000, that means you are positive $70,000 1 month and freaking negative $30,000 1 month. So
yes,
that swing, when you're that good month, you're like, dude, I'm leaving, I'm never, you know, flip my boss off. And the next month you're like, holy shit, God, I'm so glad I didn't leave. But the thing is, and I used to feel like, man, I'm a shitty entrepreneur, I don't know what I'm doing. And there was that self-doubt because there's that huge volatility swing. But what I didn't realize is that literally never ends. Like, I'm talking with dudes now that are doing, like, our company now is our fourth year. We're doing, I think we're on track to do like a little over $4 million this year in gross sales, not net, but gross. And we still have that volatility.
Sure.
Like, we'll have,
of course.
We just did this like last month. We had, you know, low six figures in our bank account. We paid all our bills and I had $2,000 left.
Nice.
$2,000 from like six figures to $2,000. But we're so used to it because like 3 years ago, it just changes a little bit. So like 3 years ago, I had like $80,000 in the bank account and then it went down to $2. I literally had $2 in my bank account. And I'm like, I'm driving around this Lamborghini and like things are going great. But I'm like, this is a funny like contrast. Like we're legitimately making good money, but on the inside, like I'm seeing $2 in my bank account. And it's like, it's an empowering and also like a scary as fuck thing, because it goes through your head, like, dude, did I jump too early? Like, mm-hmm. what the hell am I doing? It does cause that self-doubt, but I think you just get used to it. And like now, like we had $2,000 in our bank account. I wasn't even worried because I know that like there's that inherent volatility.
Yeah.
And then we were back up to six figures the next day. So it's like, because we run, you know, it's significant, like our operating costs are, you know, between $250,000 and $350,000 every month. So mm-hmm. for us, there's, we have to write those big checks and they hit all at once sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's still a scary thing, but I'm talking to sure. my friends, like, you know, $20 million and $100 million companies. And dude, it literally never ends. They're going through the exact same thing. It's just that the decimal point is just
I think that's the place, the beauty the beauty of it, though. I think like guys like us, like very type A people, like that's what I was screened for. That's what I did. Like my background, I was NSW, so I was an RTO. That's what I did, mm-hmm. and a super type A, screened for that. And I love that. And I actually love that constant evolution, right? So I'm the type of individual, like my personality is I have to like be checking off boxes every single day to feel like mm-hmm. good about myself. So I actually don't mind, like the podcast has gotten really easy for me to maintain. So I went from one a week to like 4 weeks. So this is like my example. And just because wow. I was so good at it and I was like, good at the editing, I should say, but my podcasting has gotten better as well. But my point is like, I'm like, I can't just like sit there not doing anything. Like I had to like double it, and then I doubled it the second time. And then, so I totally understand that. And I don't think it's like a super negative thing. And then it's just like, because that's what fuels me, because the second mm-hmm. that would be stagnant and consistent for like any conceivable amount of time, I would start going freaking crazy, dude. I really would.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, I don't mind it. And I know you're probably a problem solver just like me. You like, it's like, cool, all right, so how can we figure this out? Let's get into this. And it gives you that sense of accomplishment. So like, all right, let's keep on going.
Yeah. Well, that's one of my favorite things. That's actually what my entire company now is built on, is solving problems. Cause as
well,
like,
there you go.
in growing apparel brands, sure. providing like the infrastructure and background for them to scale. So for us, it's like, and I started that because my first two companies were apparel brands.
Yeah.
Forge Clothing and Disciples of Iron. And I sold my half of Forge, and I sold Disciples of Iron, and I sold the kettlebell company, Demobells. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do next? And I ended up talking with a buddy of mine at the time, and he had a clothing brand that was selling about $100,000 a year in apparel sales. And he was really struggling, man. He just didn't know how to do it. And he was making a lot of, not bad decisions, but he didn't know the standards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So his, for instance, like his website was like charging him like 8% of gross sales. I'm like,
damn,
like why are you paying this, bro? Like this is not normal.
It's like charging everything to a credit card and paying the minimum payment every month.
Dude, yeah, and the structure, and he didn't have his IP, like his trademark intellectual property. He didn't have that set up right.
Yeah.
It was just a mess, but he had a great concept and a great brand.
Sure.
So I was like, hey, man, like I'm pretty good at this. I know how this goes. And we stepped in and helped him grow it.
Good, nice.
So in three years, we helped him grow up from like 100,000 to 4.5 million. And then we helped another brand grow from like, you know, 80,000 sales to about 8 million in sales in 4 years. So we've like continuously done this. So through that, initially it was talking with them and they're having problems. And it was like, hey, I've seen this problem before. Here's what I've seen work. Let's try implementing this.
Yeah.
And then it would work. And sometimes it wouldn't work. And we'd have to find a different solution. Or sometimes they'd come up with a different problem that I hadn't seen before. We'd work through the problem to find a solution. So now that we've done this for, you know, a little over 4 years, we have this, we're like this basically hub of information on apparel, like everything apparel related. Mm-hmm. So like it's really rare these days when something comes in that we haven't seen before, that's not familiar. But we're still seeing, like we just did some sunglasses we're importing from China, and dude, it cost us like a bunch of money for these things, like $7,000 for these things. And they get in and they're held by the FDA. because we didn't know that, right, like the FDA, like, why do they care about sunglasses? Right? Well, yeah, apparently they're medical devices. So now you have to register your company with the FDA as a medical device company, which costs $4,800 a year,
or they
return your shit to China. So now I got to know, like, do I throw away that $7,000 of this stuff, or do I pay $4,800? So all these little things. So that was a new thing that popped up this last year that we weren't really expecting. But that's part of our whole process, is to make these mistakes. So then when we do get a client who's like, hey, I want to start sunglasses, we can be like, okay,
hold on.
But here's what to expect. Here's what you got to do. Here's all the numbers involved, the total process. So yeah, a big part of what we do now is just experimenting with stuff, sampling things. So when we get a client come in, we can immediately ramp them up from website development to apparel production, to fulfillment, customer service, email marketing, the full package, basically.
Yeah.
So it's been a long journey, but it's I love that stuff, though. Solving problems, like you said, like, that's really what started it. And
I mean, that's all you're doing now. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's one of the only things I'm good at. So.
Well, that's a good thing, though, because, like, it sounds like you said you're taking struggling companies, and they have strengths. Like, they're a good company. The $100,000 is not nothing. Like, somebody is doing something right. So then they need help from over here. So then they are leveraging what they're good at, and then you're leveraging what you're good at, and then you put your heads together, and then you're able to grow like that. So I think that's pretty cool that you're doing that.
We typically see, I mean, it's different with every business, but with apparel lines, especially, there's very clear, they run into the same problems at the same level of growth. So there's usually barriers at about $300,000 in sales, $700,000 in sales, and a little over $1 million in sales. And the reason is because you need varying levels of infrastructure. So, like, you know, 50,000 sales, when Mike and I were selling Forge at 50,000 sales, it was literally just us in a 2-bedroom place, one bathroom, and we just stacked the boxes in our living room. You know what I mean? Like, we'd have breakfast like on apparel boxes.
Yeah.
And that's just what it was, because that's all the infrastructure it required. Once we got to, like, you know, 100,000, 200,000, that required a one-car garage. And then it's like 300,000 was a bigger garage.
Sure.
And then we grew out of that. About the 700,000 mark, we started to get like, okay, now we have to start dealing with at least one full-time employee. So now, as you grow past a million, it's your role, when you're used to building a company like that, you're wearing all the hats, you know what I mean? So you got like 30 different things that you're doing. But as you grow, you just simply, by the virtue of only 24 hours in a day, you simply cannot do all the things. So you have to hire people to do them. But now your job as an entrepreneur completely shifts, because you're not the one doing the things anymore. So you if you want to grow, you have to hand off some of those things.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, when you're growing a business, like, it's your baby, you know what I mean? So, like,
it can be hard to
really
hand
have
off.
A hard time, you know, handing things off. And then how do you hire the right people? How do you motivate the right people? How do you lead them in a way that's meaningful to them and create that two-way loyalty and grow an actual team? Because past, you know, about 1.5 million, like, it's really about the team. Like, I don't even work in my business anymore at all, because the systems and processes that I created now, my wife Disney is the COO, and the team that she has underneath her is so much better than I was. So they took the systems and processes that I did, completely, like over 4 years, streamlined them, and they're so efficient now that, like, when I go in there and, like, I have to, like, poke around, like, things break. Like, I can't poke my finger in the works anymore, and they get mad at me. They're like, dude, stop messing with this. Stop doing this.
It took us 4 years to fix your shit.
I know, but it's been a totally different transition for me, because now I to grow my company, I can no longer do the things that grew my company. Mm-hmm. So I have to completely shift literally my job every day from doing the things that grew it to this point, to the things that are going to grow the team that's going to grow beyond this. So for me, that's been a major shift. And, like, to be honest, man, like, I sucked at it for a long time, and it really hindered our growth. I wasn't a good leader. I didn't know how to hire the right people. I didn't know how to communicate, you know, with them effectively. Mm-hmm. I didn't, I just didn't care about them in the way, because everything was so clear to me as my company that it was very difficult for me to understand why other people didn't see the things that I saw.
Yeah.
So it was,
that makes sense. You have to try to articulate that to them, like you have to have them understand your purpose and like why you're doing things. And that's the hard part, for sure, is finding people that are going to, I don't think anybody's going to care about it as much as you care about it ultimately. But I think for the most part, you need to find people that align with your vision as much as possible. And I think being able to turn all of those things over to them is great, man. Like that you can do that and then run on autopilot, and now they're doing it better. But I think one of the things that I'm going to kind of quickly tangent out of that is one of the things you do a lot now. Like you have videos, plenty of videos out there, like you're teaching people business. So like the reason I go this direction is because like, you were good enough, definitely good enough to start all those things up, and you've passed it over, but like as you're learning all these things and you're like essentially troubleshooting other companies' problems, like as you're learning this stuff, you're helping other people, you're teaching other people. And that's like one of the huge pillars that this podcast stands on, is not only like the brunt of this is like transitioning, like not just military, but like going to do something that you like to do, that you're passionate about, that you care about. So we've knocked that out. You've clearly done that. And then I always kind of like showing people that it doesn't just stop with that. Like, let's try to help people out. So what's cool about you is that that's what you're doing. You're like going out there, like your YouTube videos, you know, like doing your whiteboard shit. Like, this is how you do this. This is how you do that. And like, as you're learning things, and like I said, as you're troubleshooting things for other people, as you're solving problems, you're being able to teach other people. And I know that when you're teaching other people, you're thus learning it way better yourself. So exactly, I think that's pretty cool.
That's a good one, man. I'm not that altruistic.
So keep on teaching.
It's honestly like, it seems like a giving thing, and it is, but I'm not that giving. I'm not that altruistic. This is one of the things I learned when I was an instructor in Buds and SKT as well, is that I really don't give a shit about motivating people, because I know that if I have to motivate someone,
you can't motivate people. Exactly.
Yeah. But being an entrepreneur and being a Navy SEAL, like you cannot motivate someone. You cannot push them or pull them or poke them enough to get them through the training. Because as soon as you stop, if that's what is getting them through, as soon as you stop,
it's done.
They're going to quit. Right. So I have no interest in motivating someone to go do that thing. But what I really do enjoy is those people that are intrinsically and internally motivated to try to go out there and make an effort to build something, to create something, whether that's a company or just improve themselves.
I love that. Yeah.
I really do enjoy showing those people like, hey, this is what I've learned so far. You know what I mean? Like, this is not the right way to do it or the only way to do it. This is just my way, what I found works for me. And these are the mistakes that I've made, and you know, don't make these same mistakes. And that's basically all I can put out there, because the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know shit. So it's like, but when you first start, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
So you think you have this like, it's like fighting, right? If you've never actually gone and trained like jiu-jitsu or Muay Thai or something with like a legitimate good person, you just watch, you know, TV, and you see like, you know, Van Damme kicking the shit out of people. You're like, oh,
that shit's
easy.
Spin
around. I can do that. So you have this like false sense of self where you're like, oh, I've seen it, I can do it. And the same thing with watching entrepreneurs on Instagram. You're like, oh, he's doing this, he's driving a Lamborghini, he can do that. And it's not until you actually get in the ring or you go and spar.
Yeah, it's the man in the arena. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
That you realize how much you fucking suck. And then you're like, you get punched in the face and you're like, wow, I have so much to learn. So I feel like my first couple of years in business were exactly like that. Like Mike and I both like, you know, had, you know, we have egos, like everybody has their ego, but we, you know, definitely stepped on our own dicks a couple times and, you know, put ourselves in situations that were easily avoidable, or we screwed up good situations because we're just like, oh, we know what we're doing.
But you've learned from them, and you are where you are now doing the business that you are doing now because you learned from them. Like, that's like, well, it was okay. Like
we got punched in the face, dude. We're like, hey, like, if we want to get good at this, like we need to really learn, like what we're doing is not working.
Yeah.
We had a bit of money to start the company with, and we went through all of it, and it was almost like we almost had to close the company in the first couple months because we lost all our money making mistakes, and we're like, shit, dude, like what we thought it was going to be like and we thought was working clearly does not work. So we really need to sit back, analyze what does work, learn from people, learn as much as we can. And we, after that, after we, you know, consciously set our egos aside, we were like, okay, let's actually learn this shit. And we still made mistakes, but we made a really solid effort to not make the same mistakes twice. So once you go through that, you know, you have your initial like 100 mistakes that you make. And if that doesn't break you, you're like, okay, well, you start making less and less mistakes. Yeah. So we still make mistakes to this day. Like those stupid sunglass things. With the
yeah. Well, it kind of, listen though, it kind of reminds me of like, we were talking about like, as your company grows and it gets bigger and bigger, you're going to face new challenges. Like the guy who has $100,000 business, or fuck, the guy who has $1,000 business or $100,000 business, $1 million, $100 million, all these new issues. Yeah. And so you're getting all these new issues, but now you're being able to, you know, solve problems at that level. And it's not like you're repeating things that you screwed up on or failed at before. You're only, because you're pushing yourself into these like newer experiences and these bigger businesses and these bigger companies. Now you're able to like fail harder only because you're like trying or doing, I should say, bigger things. And you're not failing harder. You're just learning these new things. So it's not like if you were like doing the same shit for the last 10 years and you kept on failing and it didn't go anywhere, then I'd be like, you should probably stop. But that's not the case. You know, you're just always doing something different.
Yeah. The lessons just get more expensive. But what I've found is that like, if you can learn to put your ego aside in a lot of these things, and like, it is so much faster and less expensive and more efficient. Yeah. To learn from other people's mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why like our clients that we work with that like actually listen scale tremendously fast. And we've had clients that we've worked with, and then they get in ego clashes and they start making decisions based on their ego and not the market. And every single time they end up falling on their face.
So how is your ego inhibiting your business? And like, how do you see it inhibiting other people in their business? Like they think that, like their way or the highway, or can you give me an example?
Well, I think ego is an important thing. So
sure. Yeah.
If you don't have an ego, you're never going to do anything because you're like, oh, I'm not good enough.
Cause that's part of your success too. Yeah.
It's like Jocko would say, it's a dichotomy, right?
So yeah.
Like, but ego is a tool, but you have to learn how to use a tool. So for me, I do have an ego, but I like to equate it to like a long-term ego, right? So like I want to have a jet. I want to have a blacked out jet with middle fingers in the bottom of the wings and fly over everybody. Like that's one of my fucking goals. And like, you have to, nobody says that if they don't have a fucking big ego. So I know that I have a big ego.
But yeah. Okay. With that, I want to fly in that jet. Okay.
But I have that understanding that if that is truly my goal, then that means that I need to learn as much as possible every day from here until there. Right.
Yeah.
So that means that if I'm faced with a situation, which is like every day, like I go into work and my team tells me, hey, we tried this and didn't work. If I was like a shitty, like short-term ego, you know, owner, I'd be like, well, I don't care. We're doing it my way.
Yeah.
But you have to put your ego aside.
Absolutely.
And be like, okay, well, here's what I thought would work. Here's what the market said.
Yeah, actually, it's clearly like, not working. Yeah, the results speak.
Like, and you go to the subject matter experts. Like now my team is the subject matter experts on a lot of these intricate details of our company. And I ask him like, well, here's what I thought. Here's what we tried. You know, what do you think? Like, what's your suggestion? How can we improve this? And it goes two ways. Because one, it helps my company grow because now we have a bunch of smart people who are really good at what they do. And two, it helps them grow because it empowers them to feel like they're a part of this team and they're a valued member, which they are. So I think like you got to use your ego to set these big, large goals.
But
you also have to set it aside if you want to achieve the smaller things. You have to let other people fucking win, because if you're just winning all the time, like you're only as good as yourself. You know what I mean? Like I'm not going to be the one that gets that jet. You know what I mean? Like it's my team. If I do ever get that jet, it's just
you
a
will.
Goal I'm randomly setting for myself. But if I do, it will 1000% be because I put my ego aside and built a fantastic team.
Sure. I agree. And
that's my path forward.
That's that's a great answer. Absolutely. No, I absolutely love that answer. You're right. It's a tool. It's like, I always give the example of like social media. It's so relevant to everything nowadays. It's like people, I just see it getting bashed all the time. And I'm like, I'm sick of it. I'm like sick of people bashing with social media. I'm like, it's like you said, it's just a tool.
It's an amazing tool. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, really are you freaking kidding me? Like, you are number 77. So 77 people, like I, other than like friends and family that took a leap of faith in me for the first 9 weeks, like everybody else, like I've met on social media, and like, I would never have like we worked in the same, well, I guess in the Navy and the same like NSW and shit, but like the chances, what I'm saying, of like slim to none of that I would have met you in outside of this, but because of social media, like I'm able to do that. And some of the other people that I've had on here, I would have only dreamed of having, like, it's just a tool, man. So whether it's your ego, so it's something like a soft skill or a hard skill, you know, like a device in your hand. Like if you want to mindlessly scroll on Instagram for 4 hours and, you know, do that, then so be it.
Well, it's like any tool. It is what you make it. Like you could take a hammer and smack yourself in the hammer. Like, oh, this fucking hammer fucking sucks. So like, no, dude, you suck.
We've been there though before.
The carpenter who's building house is like, bro, why you hit yourself with a hammer? So You can, it's just a tool like any other tool. It is what you make it. If you allow people to get in your skin and dictate your personal experience on social media, well, then you really need to take control of how you view the fucking world and what filter you let people in with, because the world's an amazing place, man. And like the opportunity that we have now with this little device
Our
hand is literally, like, if you took this little device that we're having this conversation on right now back to somebody, you know, 80 years ago, 100 years ago,
God, 10 years ago,
burn you at the stake because they thought you were a witch. You know what I mean? Yeah. They would think it was just a magic stick. So it's like, I think everything is relative, man. I think the people who don't really, who say social media sucks, yes, there are elements of it that absolutely suck. But if you don't have the wherewithal to wield this tool, then you know what? Maybe you should find a fucking duller knife. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Well, that's or like a any lighter hammer. Yeah, any amazing thing, like the rise of the internet in the 90s, or like everybody's always like so scared of such a thing like that. Like what was TV before that, and then the radio, and that, like, oh my God, we're just sitting around the radio and listening to the radio, or everybody's watching TV all day after they come home from work, and now it's the internet, like, and then now it's the mobile devices. So, man, I just really don't give a shit about that stuff. And I think there's always going to be something. There's always going to be something out there. And like, while we are succeeding and while I'm using it to like jump in leaps and bounds for this podcast, and like you're doing it for your businesses, like while you're sitting over there complaining about like this thing ruining your life and just putting it on other people's problems, or putting your problems in other devices and all this other shit, like I'm over here doing my thing. So you can either like come along with the, you know, for the fun and with the ride, or you could just do your own thing.
Yeah. And dude, I've found that like people that complain about uncontrollable things like that, they're the same people that go nowhere in life, because if you allow unmovable things, like you're not going to change social media, right? So like if you allow unmovable things to dictate how you go through life, you're just going to get tossed about on the seas. You know what I mean? It's like a rudderless ship. Like, oh, the waves suck today, or the wind blew me this way. Like,
sure.
Well, how about you fucking stick your oars in the water and start paddling, or put your rudder in there start making some moves, or direct your life a little bit? Cause like worrying about things that you cannot change is the biggest waste of time. And that means complaining about these things are the biggest waste of time. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I bitch about plenty of shit.
Yeah, my wife, for like 9 seconds, that's all you get.
I bitch about shit, but I bitch about it with the understanding that I'm not going to change it. I bitch about it for 9 seconds, and then I move on. I just acknowledge it to myself, like, hey, this fucking sucks, and then I move on.
100% subscribe to that. Like, if you're going to bitch about it for like a couple seconds, get it out of your fucking, you know, get it out, and then either don't bitch about it again, or be a problem solver and figure out how to get past that. So I totally agree. And man, I wish we had more time, because I could just talk to you for another 30 minutes about all this stuff. We didn't even get into everything I wanted to talk about, because your brain's really interesting. I just think it's so cool to see guys from not just the teams, but just from the military come out and be very successful in what they're doing. And you do a lot of niche stuff. That's pretty much what you're about. And I've watched videos on you doing that, and I'm applying it to my life too. So I do, like, from me to you, like, I think it's pretty cool that you're doing that, it affects a lot of people, affects me. And like I said, I just like seeing that success. And I ultimately, I don't care if it's military or civilian, but I just want to give people like you that are, you did something for 10 years and then you, like you said, you kind of did like a decrescendo in, you know, your military tenure, and you slowly worked up into what you're doing now. So you don't have to break it off immediately. So I appreciate you sharing that and everything else you did. Like, it's so cool to see like your evolution and then like you sharing that evolution. So no, I appreciate your time. Thanks, you're a busy man. Yeah, absolutely.
Dude, I'm glad to hear that it's a useful perspective, because like for so long I was just like, it's only my perspective, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like I didn't think it was valuable or useful for a long time, because I'm like, dude, this is just like everybody deals with this. This is just my own way of solving problems.
Yeah.
But yeah, I started putting a little bit out and people were like, oh, that actually helps me. So I'm like, fuck man, that's like one of the biggest compliments I can hear, is that
yeah,
like the stuff I put out is like, hey, you know what? I used that and it worked. Like, that's awesome to me. Like that makes me feel good that I can get out there yeah, and like share my mistakes and my yeah, perspective. Like, dude, I hope this serves you better than me. Like I was talking with a buddy of mine this weekend. Actually Mitch Aguiar from Smashing Frog. And he was sitting here, we're talking about business and life and stuff. And he's like, man, I'm feeling like I'm doing all the stuff, I'm barely making. Like, bro, you are 30. Like, I'm 41. Like, dude, you are going to fucking yeah, crush where I'm at in 41. Like, and, it, yeah, and if you're not, if you don't surpass by a long shot where I am 11 years ahead of you, then we both fucking suck, because you're not doing a good job progressing and I'm not doing a good job like providing you.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
All the information
yeah,
that I
yeah,
have
sure,
to support you and sure, not make the same mistakes that I made. So like, yeah, I feel like I'm 10 years behind a lot of my, you know, peer group on this.
Yeah, I feel like that too, though. I'm 31 and I feel like I'm so behind at times. And I think like comparison is good. A lot of people like subscribe to one end of the spectrum or not. They'll say like comparison is a thief of joy. And other people will go like, oh, I'm all about competition. But I think if you find a middle ground and you go like, yeah, I'm definitely doing the best I can do every single damn day, but also
yeah,
you can do more because other people are doing more, but not letting that rob you of everything that you've accomplished. So you find
dude,
that
exactly,
and you just drive hard.
It's like that ego thing, right? Like you have to
yeah,
set that goal for yourself. And you're like, hey, this person's doing this, I want to do this, but also realize like, hey, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm doing okay for where I'm at. So
yeah,
I think there's like, it's always that split, you know, but I think both perspectives are not just useful. I think they're needed. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Okay.
You just have to figure out like,
sure,
you know, which you're going to listen to at which time. Cause they're both, I think, very important.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to go all the way to one end of the spectrum or not. Ryan, I appreciate it, man. Where can everybody find you?
I think Instagram is probably the best way right now. It's Invictus3326.
Easy enough, man. And then I know you can see the website from Instagram as well. So just head over to Instagram. It'll be in the show notes as well.
Oh,
and,
yeah. It's this our company's website is industrythreadworks.com.
Awesome. Well, Ryan, like I said, I appreciate your time, man. It was a blast talking to you and just peering into your brain a little bit.
Dude, you too, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, man. See ya.
All right, thanks.